When you look at a map of the world, you are not looking at countries, but farms. You do not have to be livestock.
Upstart Radio.
It's a brave new world.
Upstart Radio.
Welcome. 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 Produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
You do not have to be livestock. Nationalism is pimped out bigotry, designed to provoke a Stockholm syndrome in the livestock. Statism is an ideology, and all ideologies are variations on human livestock management practices. Government schools are indoctrination pens for livestock. They train children to, quote, love the farm and to fear true freedom and independence, and to attack anyone who questions the brutal reality of human ownership.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
Upstart Radio.
It's a brave new world.
If slavery is a choice, then I choose not to be a slave. This is the most frightening statement for the ruling classes, which is why they train their slaves to attack anyone who dares speak it. The Matrix is one of the greatest metaphors ever. Machines invented to make human life easier end up enslaving humanity. This is the most common theme in dystopian science fiction. Why is this fear so universal, so compelling? Is it because we really believe that our toaster and our notebook will end up as our mechanical overlords? Of course not. This is not a future that we fear, but a past that we are already living. Supposedly, governments were invented to make human life easier and safer, but governments always end up enslaving humanity. That which we create to, quote, serve us ends up ruling us. The U.S. government, by and for the people, now imprisons millions, takes half the national income by force, overregulates, punishes, tortures, slaughters foreigners, invades countries, overthrows governments, imposes 700 imperialistic bases overseas, inflates the currency, and crushes future generations with massive debts. That which we create to serve us ends up ruling us. You do not have to be livestock. The earliest governments and empires were in fact a ruling class of slave hunters who understood that because human beings could produce more than they consumed, they were worth hunting, capturing, breaking in, and owning. The earliest Egyptian and Chinese empires were, in reality, human farms, where people were hunted, captured, domesticated, and owned like any other form of livestock. Due to technological and methodological improvements, The slaves produced enough excess that the labor involved in capturing and keeping them represented only a small subset of their total productivity. The ruling class, the farmers, kept a large portion of that excess while handing out gifts and payments to the brutalizing class, the police, slave hunters, and general sadists, and the propagandizing class, the priests, intellectuals, and artists. This situation continued for thousands of years, until the 16th to 17th centuries, when again, massive improvements in agricultural organization and technology created the second wave of excess productivity. The enclosure movement reorganized and consolidated farmland, resulting in 5 to 10 times more crops, creating a new class of industrial workers displaced from the country and huddling in the new cities. This enormous agricultural excess was the basis of the capital that drove the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution did not arise because the ruling class wanted to free their serfs, but rather because they realized how additional, quote, liberties could make their livestock astoundingly more productive. Statism is an ex post facto justification for human ownership. For human ownership. Human ownership. You do not have to be livestock. The idea that democracy and some sort of social contract justifies the brutal exercise of violent power over billions is patently ridiculous. You do not have to be livestock. When cows are placed in very confining stalls, they beat their heads against the walls, resulting in injuries and infections. Thus, farmers now give them more room, not because they want to set their cows free, but rather because they want greater productivity and lower costs. The next stop after free range is not freedom. The rise of state capitalism in the 19th century was actually the rise of free-range serfdom. A religion is pimped-out superstition, designed to drug children with fears that they will endlessly pay to have, quote, alleviated. The ridiculous contradictions of statism, like religion, can only be sustained through endless propaganda inflicted upon helpless children. Statism does not originate from historical evidence or rational principles. The opposite of superstition and ideology, of statism, is philosophy. Reason and courage will set us free. Statism is an excuse for violence. Additional liberties were granted to the human livestock not with the goal of setting them free, but rather with the goal of increasing their productivity. Of course, intellectuals, artists, and priests were, and are, well paid to conceal this reality. The great problem of modern human livestock ownership is the challenge of enthusiasm. State capitalism only works when the entrepreneurial spirit drives creativity and productivity in the economy. However, excess productivity always creates a larger state and swells the ruling classes and their dependents, which eats into the motivation for additional productivity.
Upstart Radio. It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
Taxes and regulations rise, state debt, future farming, increases, and living standards slow and decay. Depression and despair begin to spread as the reality of being owned sets in for the general population. The solution to this is additional propaganda, antidepressant medications, superstition, wars, moral campaigns of every kind, the creation of, quote, enemies. You do not have to be livestock. Paranoia about outsiders and immigrants and so on. It is essential to understand the reality of the world. You are allowed certain liberties, limited property ownership, movement rights, freedom of association and occupation, not because your government approves of these rights in principle, since it constantly violates them, but rather because free-range livestock is so much cheaper to own and so much more productive. It is important to understand the reality of ideologies. State capitalism, socialism, communism, fascism, democracy. These are all livestock management approaches. Some work well for long periods, state capitalism, and some work very badly, communism. They all fail eventually because it is immoral and irrational to treat human beings as livestock. The recent growth of freedom in China, India, and Asia is occurring because the local state farmers have upgraded their livestock management practices. They have recognized that putting the cows in a larger stall provides the rulers more milk and meat. Rulers have also recognized that if they prevent you from fleeing the farm, you will become depressed, inert, and unproductive. A serf is the most productive when he imagines he is free. Thus, your rulers must provide you the illusion of freedom in order to harvest you most effectively. Thus, you are allowed to leave, but never to real freedom, only to another farm, because the whole world is a farm. They will prevent you from taking a lot of money. They will bury you in endless paperwork. They will restrict your right to work, but you are, quote, free to leave. Due to these difficulties, Very few people do leave, but the illusion of mobility is maintained. If only one out of 1,000 cows escapes, but the illusion of escaping significantly raises the productivity of the remaining 999, it remains a net gain for the farmer.
Upstart Radio.
You are also kept on the farm through licensing. The most productive livestock are the professionals. So the rulers fit them with an electronic dog collar called a license, which only allows them to practice their trade on their own farm.
It's a brave new world.
To further create the illusion of freedom, in certain farms, the livestock are allowed to choose between a few farmers that the investors present. At best, they are given minor choices in how they are managed. They are never given the choice to shut down the farm and be truly free.
A man wearing a carpenter's belt walks down a busy city street. Making his way to a particular street corner, he lowers to his knees. He draws his hammer from its holster and a large nail from his pouch. The man carefully positions the nail and drives it into the sidewalk pavement. Slowly at first, and then more rapidly, milk begins to gush from the open wound. A crowd of alarmed onlookers forms. Soon an ambulance arrives, but the medics are unable to stop the bleeding. Thirty minutes after the injury, the city has lost power. Ten minutes later, telephones are dead and traffic is at a standstill. The hemorrhaging continues until downtown is flooded with milk. Rolling to the waterfront, the milk spills into the sea, staining the ocean. In less than an hour, the city is pronounced dead. The carpenter denies having any involvement with the incident.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
Upstart Radio.
It's a brave new world.
Hi everybody, Lacey here. Today I'm going to be giving you 10 tips on how to talk to those godless heathens, otherwise known as atheists. Let's get started! 1. Make sure that whenever an atheist asks for proof of your claims that you always use the Bible. Atheists should know that the Bible is the Word of God and that all of God's claims as well as His existence are proven by the Bible itself. And if they bring up some claim about the Bible being written 30,000 times by 3rd century AD, just ignore it, okay? Number 2. Make sure that the other claims that you make to the atheist are all unfalsifiable. That means they can't refute it. That way they can never prove us wrong. Isn't God amazing? Number 3. Make sure if you're talking to an atheist about something that seems to have gone particularly wrong in their life, like for example an atheist who happens to have a little brother who's autistic, make sure the atheist knows that when the little brother was up in heaven, he chose to be autistic when he came to earth. That way the atheist doesn't have to feel so bad about his brother being autistic. After all, his brother was the one who chose it in the first place. The atheist should know that this is all a part of God's divine plan, so he shouldn't worry about it because it's out of his hands. Number 4. Make sure that even when the atheist is adamantly denying the existence of God our Holy Father, that you let him know that God loves him anyway. And if they bring up something ridiculous about Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy, just ignore him. Number 5, if you're losing a debate with an atheist, I don't know how that could happen, but just in case, make sure you just start talking on top of them, because if they can't hear what they're saying, then obviously you can't hear what they're saying, and then you don't have to deal with it. Problem solved and God's word isn't hurt. Ka-ching! Number 6. And if you happen to be arguing with the atheist on the internet, make sure that if you're losing that you call them lots of horrible names and leave them spam and maybe even throw in a few false accusations. That way they realize the power of God's love. Some atheists might turn to Christ if they realize they really are a cum-guzzling whorebag. And number 7. If an atheist has been apostatized from a certain religion, make sure that they know that the time that their priest touched them inappropriately, or the time that their bishop asked them how often they masturbate, or how they like to touch themselves, make sure that the atheist knows that that never happens to anyone else, and that their experience is only theirs, once in a billion. If they know that that never actually happens, maybe they'll come back. Number 8. Make sure that while you're talking to this hardened atheist, you take the time to visit them at home at least a few times a week. If possible, make sure to stop by spontaneously without notice so that the atheist doesn't have time to harden their hearts to God's message. Number 9. If an atheist starts talking about scientific evidence against God, make sure you let him know that if he would just let Jesus into his heart, the scientific evidence silliness wouldn't even matter to him anymore. And of course, number 10. Lastly, if all else fails with the godless heathen, make sure that they understand what hell is. Explain to them that if they keep living their path of sin, that they will be damned to hell by God for eternity. Make sure that they understand what hell is. Explain to them that if they keep living their path of sin, that they will be damned to hell by God for eternity. Make sure that they understand what hell is. Explain to them that if they keep living their path of sin, that they will be damned to hell by God. Make sure that they understand what hell is. Explain to them that if they keep living their path of sin, that they will be damned to hell by God for eternity.
When you look at a map of the world, you are not looking at countries, but farms. When you look at a map of the world, you are not looking at countries, but farms. You do not have to be livestock.
It's a brave new world.